I guess what I'm thinking is just, would they have been willing to incur the expense, and, you know, for the trial in anticipation that they might have been reimbursed? But
I don't have an objection if they have something that they currently have a case pending and they want to run a test that they, some of their commissioners aren't willing to give them the money. I mean, thinking from small jurisdictions, you know, if my commissioners aren't willing to give me the money to do something like that, then that may be something I may request so I can continue on in a case or you know, as the case needed, but.
I have an example. So I have a trial coming up where we have an expert witness. It's a very difficult rape case that involves incest and polygamy and delayed disclosure and coercive control and all sorts of things. And to save on expenses, our expert witness is going to testify about general concepts of victim behavior, general concepts of the dynamics between perpetrators and victims, but she's not going to review the whole case, sit through the whole trial, and comment specifically on the evidence, which would be much, much more expensive for us. If we had known, oh, we could potentially apply for these funds, we probably would have done the more expensive route because it would be more effective. But I would need to know before the trial if UPC has reviewed and approved up to a certain dollar amount, right? That's the only way that would have worked for us.
And there is a provision in this memo that Mark drafted. It basically says if your office is involved in the case, it will continue past the end of June, the fiscal year. You can submit those requests. And if you're going to, if it will generate additional substantial expenses during the next 12 months, you can opt to make a request at this time for already incurred expenses plus, you know, the additional expenses that are anticipated in the coming fiscal year.
Under that scenario, though, how would he make that request?
Yeah.
If he has to go out on the limb and pay for it first and then ask for the request.
I don't know, those are really great questions.
Yeah, it's just really hard to administer. From a policy standpoint, however, I don't think it's good policy for prosecution offices to be relying on UPC's extra funding determining what cases they're going to prosecute.
Of course.
And so,
but every office uses available resources to determine what they're going to pursue and what they're not going to pursue.
Sure, but they should be reviewing their own available resources, not another agency's available. This just comes in, like, far be it from me to tell you guys what you have to do with this, but that's the way I view it. I think if you're allowing people to apply for UPC funds and that's going to make the determination if they're prosecuting a case or not, I think that sets a bad precedent.
But I think in his case, it doesn't. They chose to prosecute it. They just have some extra expenses they would like to have in a case like this, and I think that would be more appropriate.
That is different, right? Like, you're already in the case. You're incurring things. Yeah. We're going to keep prosecuting this. This is extra funds. I think that's different rather than, in the past, we've had some conversations of, oh, I've got this big case. I don't know if I'm going to prosecute it or not, but this would make it possible. And I don't know that that's the precedent we want to send. Because there's going to be some years where there's not any money available.
Budget will get tight, and there
will be zero. And so prosecution decisions need to be based on a local level, and then this can just supplement. That's why I think the reimbursement model is probably the best model.
What Jeff and Rob said, I get requests for assistance from smaller counties trying to find experts for sex assault cases, for DV cases, and it's really hard for them a lot of times because there's the additional travel expense, hotel, per diem, on top of an already tight budget. So I think that's a really good example, and I think it really could benefit some of those smaller counties that are prosecuting these, but would like to increase their odds with some additional expert help.
And 25 grand went a lot further in 2010 than it does today, that's for sure.
Is that how big it is, 25 grand?
It's just not. That gets you your expert, right? That can provide an expert in a case.
It doesn't touch the Paiute homicide case.
Yeah.
We could go get money like this from the legislature in a heartbeat, and lots more of it. For these kinds of purposes, doesn't have to sit with UPC. It can just sit out there for, you know, wherever. $25,000 is not even.
No.
Doesn't do anything. That's not even a drop in the bucket for those guys, and it's doesn't anything for us. So.
But in 1996, 99, when this was written, it was a lot more than what it is now.
It went a lot further.
As far as process, the way I remember it is, a notice would go out that, that those cases would be reviewed by the council, and then as far as being approved, then they would go to the committee, and then they would make the deciding, you know, who's going to get awarded based on the rules. And sometimes there were special situations, but the way I remember it, it was always a reimbursement.
Right.
Because there were some counties that were coming and thinking they could come to UPC, that was the well, and, you know, get reimbursed for their unusual situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah. Yeah, and the requirements are you have to have a summary of the case, the facts underlying it, the facts that establish the necessity for the expense, why the expense is unusual, how the expense constituted a hardship to the agency, details showing that the expense was actually incurred either through, you know, receipts, invoices, things like that. That all had to be part of it.
Yeah.
My recollection is another reason we did it as a reimbursement is because if you get a pre-expenditure, we were worried that we might commit the entire pot to one entity.
Yeah.
But and so some years you may want to say, all right, you requested, you know, five agencies requested $50,000, but we want to give you each X amount to help defray the cost but not cover them. Mm-hmm. That's my memory.
Okay.
Just, I think that's good.
I don't know, with such a small amount of money, we're not going to move the needle, I don't think, too much.
No.
I would be favoring leaving it for rural and small only. I don't think anybody on the Wasatch Front should be coming for a $10,000 expert fee, right? Go to your commission, make your argument.
Right. And at some point, too, there were a lot of counties coming to the AG's office for assistance. For assistance for attorneys.
Yeah, that point was last month, but okay.
polygamy comes to mind during those trials, and we were associated with that, mm-hmm. because we were under the umbrella. Oh, we've got $25,000 we could go after, so that's why it's kind of tight and a little bit conservative.
Yeah.
I think as far as the review committee, like if let's say we decide, okay, there's $25,000. Bob can send out his email to say you can apply for things that happened within the last year that were unusual expenses. Here's the criteria. Mm-hmm. The applications come in. I think just UPC Executive Committee should just be the review committee.
And the approval?
Like, do we have to submit?
And the approval as well?
Yeah. Oh. Like, do we have to create another committee for that?
Well, no, that's just the model that we had before. So that's what I was just saying, is I don't know if you wanted to follow that or if your guidance is to let it, you know, be up to us. Or is it, I mean, we're all prosecutors, but like I haven't been in the courtroom in 10 years. Do you want
well,
me?
Well, who's our current officers?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Stephen Foote is the chair. Ed Montgomery is the chair-elect.
Is that's all the only officers? We just have those two officers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be a problem if it's those two and Bob? That three-person committee reviews them?
No.
You could do that.
Yeah, virtually.
Call,
yeah.
Teams meeting.
Yeah.
They kind of rotated too. I mean, I'm just talking from memory. It was rotated, so it's like a two-year thing.
I mean, lots of years when no one requested anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And so...
We had years when there was not a
bid. Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing for the last 10 years. And so what I'm anticipating my announcement will be is watch for the email, have applications due by June 1st. So...
Do we need to announce that at spring conference, or is that something you can just send out to the really heads of the agencies? County attorneys and the city attorneys are really
well, that's
people
true too.
Who make
that's
making application.
What we need to do is, anyway,
okay.
That's what was done.
Okay. But I was going to say, so applications have to be due by June 1st because we need to jump on this really quickly right. so that we get it done this fiscal year.
Hopefully, I have a decision made by the 20th by our next meeting in, yeah. in June.
But Stuart had the suggestion, I don't know if that's a motion, you know, that we limit it to smaller jurisdictions, but how do we define that?
Well, maybe you do that as your committee anyway. Yeah. If I was on that committee, I'd have a hard time.
Like a hard time giving somebody a $10,000 award when they have a $15 million budget?
Yeah. Yeah.
Limit the counties to a certain class.
Well, we did run into that problem. And I think there were one year, there was three different agencies that were awarded, and I don't remember who they were. One did not get all that they wanted because it was split out evenly.
Right.
And you know, they got their feelings hurt over that.
Well,
so,
well.
I mean.
I wonder, going screwballs in there too, though. Like, no one's asked for this in 10 years. No one's relying on it. Is it really that valuable? Is there a better use of this money? Would it be better to roll that into the pitch for a full-time administrative assistant?
Was this one of the.
It's in the statute.
This is one of the statutory issues.
Well,
for
it's just as available.
Something you can.
Yeah, as available and as budgeted.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact,
so it's not mandated. It's just something that's available.
Yeah.
And I don't
I'm
know.
I'm throwing that out there because I don't know.
Yeah.
10 years and no one's asked.
Stephen may be the only one when we amended our statute a couple of years ago to add the two additional city prosecutors. I suggested we take that out of the statute because we hadn't had it in there so long, and I think one of the council members that's no longer with us said, I'll just leave it just in case. Just so there was a discussion of taking it out of the statute.
Is it for lack of need or for lack of awareness that it exists?
It was lack of funds.
That people haven't asked for.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I think it's lack of awareness.
It wasn't budgeted. We didn't have the monies. We relied on surcharge the whole time and the surcharge started going down. We never had the money to do it.
Yeah.
So we stopped even putting it in the budget because it was an if we had it situation.
If we're kind of at a crossroads, it seems to me like we should do it this year, evaluate what the requests are.
It would seem to me, to be honest with you, if Dan's talking about here, if we can get a pot of money from the state, I don't care who governs it, to be honest with you, if we can get a pot of money set aside for these unusual expenses like that, there would be a lot more than $25,000 available. We should.
They're
push,
currently
we should,
doing that for indigent defense.
They are. They are completely doing that for indigent defense.
But that's the great.
Which
the
is,
great
I think, is appropriate.
Yeah. I do too.
But when they do that, they then turn around and when we say you've got to balance things, they're more likely to balance.
Yeah.
Them,
right.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I've got three or four experts right now being paid by indigent defense in my cases. Which I'm happy for because my county's not going to pay for it. Of course, I objected to two of them anyway. And they're not going to be able to testify because I filed motions limiting.
I guess my vote would be that Bob send out a communication using the previous guidelines mm-hmm. for the $25,000 that we have and that any applications for funds are reviewed by Bob and our executive officers.
Okay.
Reviewed and approved.
Okay.
Or denied.
Yeah.
Okay. Second.
Okay. All right. So Stephen and Ed, I will be reaching out to you. So we start if we can get any of those.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then yeah, I like.
Do you want to vote on it?
Oh yeah. Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Someone needs to start opposing this stuff. We look like we're a communist party.
Yeah, the recording doesn't have me holding a gun or a knife or something like that. And I do like that. I won't make an announcement at spring conference. I was just thinking, getting the buzz out there, but I will just send that to the county attorneys and city. I'll try to identify either the lead city prosecutor or the city attorney for those requests. Because and that's the other thing is, and I know I mentioned this before, is in the past it was only counties, I think, that got approved. But we've got cities that are doing Class A's, which are state crimes. So I don't see that we exclude cities.
Would they have extraordinary expenses for those kinds of?
Fentanyl is our state lab isn't testing for fentanyl, and I know Orem City shortly after I left, ended up pleading out a couple of cases because they were fentanyl cases and they couldn't afford to get tested.
You might